Does that mean you left this down?
The microphone is on zero rather than the recording level. Lynn Johnson, and I'm in WA Marie Lane in the home of Lincoln. It's the 4th of July, 1999. And we're going to be talking about her life in Holland first. Where were you born in Holland?
On an island in the southwest, Goede Overflakkee. And when I was 4 months old, my parents moved to the very northeast, kind of the opposite. And we lived there for 3 years only, and then went to Zalk, a very small village in the mid-east, and then to Nunspeet, which is just south of there. So when I was 10, and that's where I lived till I left home. I went to nursing school. After that, my parents moved one more time to Heino, which is still in the same region, kind of in the mid-east there.
They seem to move around a lot. Was that because of their work or their...
Well, my father was a school teacher, and actually his whole history, my mother's family was originally from the islands for 100 years, you know. And all my aunts and uncles and nephews and nieces and grandparents and all that stayed on the island. But he just wanted to change his position. He had an offer for a principal in another place, and he wanted to pursue that.
Was it a big difference between the island life and then living elsewhere?
Well, it is really, because the people speak a dialect, and every region has its own dialect. So, you know, at the island, they never spoke anything else as that dialect. So they go to a very different region. It's completely different. It's almost like a different language. So that's quite different. And there are some cultural differences, you know, in general. People live a little different. That's almost like changing countries. But they have one common language also that is taught in school and that everyone knows, but for socializing, so it's sometimes hard for people to live in another region, especially for older people who don't understand the local dialect.
No, when you moved around as a child, then did you have to? How many different dialects did you end up
learning? I never learned the other ones. I might, you know, pick up a little bit, but I would just always speak just regular Dutch with everybody. And that's more so now, of course, than way back when you didn't travel as much around. But for my mother, it's still, I don't know how, I can go on and on.
Oh, please.
It's still an issue for my mother, for example, because she has to go to a nursing home, and she's in a place that she did not learn the dialect of, even though she's been living there for 20 years now. And she decided to go back to the nursing home on the island because she'll be able to talk with the people in the nursing home there, who mainly will talk dialect with each other, rather than to a nursing home in Heino, where she lives now, because she feels she will be an outsider. Just that, even though she has their friends and family too. Mm-hmm. So it's still an issue for her.
Language is a big issue. Yeah. Yeah. Feeling like you're part of the community. When did you start learning English? Was that something you
taught the school? Age 12, the first year of high school. And yeah, nowadays they start at age 10, fourth grade, they will start English. Has been a shift in the past in Holland. When my father was still teaching school up till about mid-60s maybe, they would teach French in primary school also, besides Dutch. There was, you know, one of the other languages, and they would start in fourth grade, and then they didn't teach any foreign language for a while in primary school until maybe 10 years ago they started teaching English in fourth grade. And of course when everyone is 12 they will learn French, English and German in high school. Everyone gets those three automatically.
There's a lot of language in school.
Yeah, and then after a few years though of high school you can choose. You have to keep one foreign language. You can keep them all if you want to, but you have to at least keep one.
So you learn the basics of each
yeah.
language?
Yeah. And some schools will offer some other languages, but not too much.
Well, what was the size of the towns that you lived for the most part in?
Where I was born, I don't know exactly, it was maybe 4,000 people. And then the next one was smaller, maybe 1,000, and the next one maybe was only 100 families. So like, and the one after that, 8,000. And the one, well, then I left home. Of course, yeah. And where my mother lives now is this community of 6,000 people. It's three little smaller villages.
Is that a typical size of a town?
Village, yeah. They call them villages. The towns are bigger, of course. After I left home, I lived in a couple towns. I didn't even mention that. Because I went to nursing school in Delft. And they had, oh, that's a big town. I don't even dare. 500,000 people, maybe. And then Utrecht is maybe 750,000 people, even bigger. That's the two towns I worked, you know, in hospitals.
So you went to nursing college?
Well, it was a hospital-based school. They called it a diploma, I think, here. And it was a program of 3.5 years. You went to school and worked at the same time. You were an employee of the hospital already during the training. So it was the first 3 months, you just went to school, 12 weeks. But you got paid. And then after those 3 months, you had to do an exam, and then you would start your, just to work. During those 3 months, you had some practical exposure also, and then you work like 5 weeks and then have 1 week of school, all the rest of the 3.5 years.
Okay. And did you, is there specialties that you go into?
Not during that yet. That was general nursing. You did everything, surgery, medical, nursing, obstetrics, gynecology, urology, dermatology, I mean lung specialism, all the areas you would cover, and every year you had to do exam. Psychiatry was optional. We got the theory, and I was never exposed to the practical part, but some of us were, because there was a separate psychiatric training for nurses, so it was not necessarily in your general nursing, which I did, but you could, because there was a psychiatric ward in the hospital. And surgery was included, and then at the very end you would do a national exam, a written and oral exam.
And so you worked then for how many years after that?
I stayed for 1 year in this particular hospital, which was in Delft, at the lung ward, lung specialist, lung diseases. Then I decided I wanted to do intensive care training. I went to a hospital or a university hospital. It was a bigger hospital, and that's why I did intensive care training in Utrecht.
Okay.
Which also took it was 1.5 year training. It was quite extensive. We did, they had a cardiology, cardiosurgery, general surgery, which had trauma and large operations, and medical intensive care, which had mainly lung diseases and other internal intoxications and some of those. You know, people in the breathing machine a lot. A neurological intensive care and a neurosurgical intensive care. So it was, and each of those places you stay about 6 weeks during the 1.5 year, and you had your theory besides that. And we also went through anesthesiology for 6 weeks there. That took a year, and then the last 6 months you chose one specialty. I chose heart surgery. And then when I finished with that course, I stayed another 5 years at the heart surgery, full or intensive care there.
So it sounds like an intensive training.
It was a good training.
How many hours a day would you be working?
Eight.
Yeah,
eight.
So that's reasonable.
Nobody worked more. Here you have to work 12.
Well, where were you living at the time? What was your housing like?
The hospital would offer cheap rooms. You had your own room and a little kitchen and shower, bathroom.
Yeah.
And that's where I mainly stayed the whole time. In Delft I stayed there to start with, and then I lived for a year with my sister, who also lived in Delft, and then I lived on just in somebody else's house for another few years too.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, and in Utrecht I stayed only in hospital apartments.
Okay.
to a different house.
How did you find yourself moving to America? What brought you to the States?
Well, after I finished the intensive care, I traveled in 1979. That was after my general nursing training already to met Terry, who was from America. I went to Israel to visit my sister there, and Terry was there visiting with a friend and worked there for a while. And that's where we met, and we just became friends and kept contact over the years. And I went back to do my intensive care training. And then I also went for 2 years to England to do midwifery training after that still. But during the time I was in Utrecht and England, I met Terry several times, you know, in Holland, in Germany, in France and England, because that was where we both were living. In America one time, even. I came here one time.
Was that for training or vacation?
No, it was vacation.
So you kept in touch and meet and visit?
Yeah, we visited, and wherever we were, whenever we had a vacation and wherever one of us was, that's where we would travel around, and then we would go back to our own place where we were. Because he was 2 times 6 months in Germany during this time, and a year in France where he studied the French language for a year.
This is was he with the military? Or
Part of that. As a reserve officer. Okay. Yeah, he's an individual reserve. In the individual reserve. He doesn't belong to a unit or something. But we kept in contact, and then when I finished my midwifery training, which took almost 2 years in England, he visited me because he was on his way back to America after France. And he visited, and we decided to get married. So we got married in England, Northampton.
So it was a spur of the moment, or had you planned
it was kind of not really long-term planning. But we asked my mother and my sister to come over. We didn't tell them we were going to get married, but they were there when we got married. That was all the family that was there. And then 2 friends that I worked with were there too.
Was it a surprise for them?
They kind of expected it, yeah. Terry had been several times in Holland, and I mean, they kind of expected it.
Had you always wanted to live in another country, or had you?
No, not really.
Was it kind of a surprise?
It sounds like I'm. The thing is, I'm a very homey person. I love home. I really want to. I need a base that I belong to. I don't know really what triggered all this traveling off.
Where did you first move to when you moved to the United States?
After England, you can sit in here if you can just sit still, or you have to go there.
I don't want to play with me.
Well, go and sit on the sofa and watch them for a while.
Did you move right to Kentucky, or did you live other places first?
Well, we first came to Kentucky. From England, we went back to, Terry said he wanted to spend some time with his parents, with his father and his mother. They were divorced. And he had to do some courses for the army. And I wouldn't have mind to just stay in Europe. I didn't feel necessarily an urge to go to America, but I felt, you know, when you get married, you have to stay together. So he actually urged me to stay another year in England to get a year of practice in midwifery, but I found that unacceptable, so I just quit and went with him. We went first to Holland for 3 months, and I got my green card during that time. We applied for that because they told us it would be quicker outside of America than in America. So then we went, and during that we traveled, we took a bike ride through Holland for 2 weeks and went to Russia and all kinds of things. Then went to America, arrived in New York on Halloween Day, took a Greyhound bus to Paducah, Kentucky.
Wow.
Stopped in Philadelphia on the way to visit his friend that he was with in Israel originally when I first met him. And then we went on to Paducah.
Now, you had been to America once before, so was that What was your first impressions coming into New York City on Halloween?
I wasn't even aware of it. We just stayed in the airport and the bus station, and I didn't even notice if people were dressed funny or not. To be honest, I don't remember. I never heard of Halloween before, so it was not something.
It's not something you celebrate in Holland?
No. But I didn't notice. I just know I arrived that day.
And then taking the long bus trip, was that...
That was
a new experience.
Yeah. Because it was very hard for me to just come to America, which I never thought I would. I thought it would be easier to go to America than England, for example, because I thought it would be more more diverse, you know, and therefore the people would be more open for you. And I don't know if it was me, because it was permanent and away from my family, that I was less adaptable than in England, for example. In England, I felt home after 8 months. You know, once I got the language straightened out, and you know, I was all kinds of things. I was involved in everything. I had friends, and I felt home. But here, I still don't feel it really. In America, I've had a hard time. But when we first arrived, his mother picked us up, and we lived for 8 months in his mother's house, and that was hard for me because I basically lost my independence. Because since I was 17, I had taken care of myself, traveled all over the world, did all the training and the nursing and working, and then I came here, and you know, I didn't drive a car, so I couldn't go anywhere. I didn't know how to get even a gallon of milk or how to go to the library. I was just stuck there.
Because you needed a car to get to
these
places.
Needed a car to get to these places. And even I had a bike, I couldn't get to them. In Holland you can get everywhere, in England also you can walk and bike everywhere, and here I couldn't go anywhere. Plus if I was in a car, I didn't remember how the roads went, because I was not used to driving, I guess, and learning the road that way. So I got lost all the time. Even Terry taught me how to drive pretty soon. We arrived October, so I think in February, I don't even know when I had my first driver's license. After a few months, he started taking me out for driving lessons, training.
Wow, that's a big shock. And what other things did you find different?
The climate was very different, because before I left Holland, I especially bought myself a new winter coat. And that first winter in America, I never had to wear it, because it was a very warm winter. And like February, we already walked in shorts, and it never really got cold. And that was very different. And that was the heat. I couldn't tolerate it. So in April already, it was kind of lost my energy, just because it was already too hot for me. And that lasted till like through the whole summer. And the winter itself was very depressing, because we have got a lot of green trees. And in the winter, they lose all the leaves, and everything is brown and gray. And I didn't see any color. So, like, on October 31st, there was kind of... And then, like, 6 months it took before the green came back on the trees. And I thought, well, this is such a terrible, boring kind of... And it's so sad. There's nothing here, no color, no green. Everything is brown and dead. I couldn't even believe that anything could come back alive, because it looked so dead to me.
And so you moved there, and you had no way of getting around, and what did you do all day? How'd you spend
the
days?
Well, not much. I mean, and I was in a very poor mental status. I couldn't tolerate much. Going to a shop with Terry and his mother was already so overwhelming for me during that time. I was just I basically felt I went crazy during that first time.
Because
it was very hard. It was. And I felt sad myself. I felt if I would have just been alone with Terry, in even though it was just one room apartment or something, it would have been easier on me, because having his mother there made it harder too. She's very controlling. Plus, Terry basically was there to do things for her. So he was all day doing things for her, because he had a new house built, which still needed a lot of work. And then he had to do administrative things for her. Because she just needed that help, and he especially went back to America to do these things. But I felt like I didn't have anything to do. And then later I realized I should have stayed another year, probably in England, done my thing, because Terry was not really ready for, you know, picking up life with me, kind of like that.
Yeah, he had to finish up his other...
He had to do this, and anyway.
Well, did you, this sense of independence that you grew up with and your I guess, wanting a career, was that pretty typical? Is that part of the value system in Holland for most young people?
Yeah, I would think so.
So moving back to live with your parents would be, it's unusual?
It's unusual, yeah. Yeah.
When you, and after you got here and settled in a little while, what kind of process allowed you to start practicing medicine or start practicing nursing again?
Well, we moved to Indianapolis for a while. After another trip, we spent several months traveling again here too, because they took something on with the army. Or that was later. Now, we first went to Indianapolis. That was also because the army wanted a course to do some courses with them, and he did it on an army post in Indianapolis. So we lived there in an apartment, and once we got settled there, like after a few weeks, I applied for a job in the hospital there and worked as a nursing technician. And during that time, I also looked into the registration as a nurse here, what I needed to do. And I applied to it, and they had to send stuff from Holland for my training there to see the curriculum and all that, what I had done there. And it ended up that to become registered here, I still needed to do some extra psychiatry because I had to do my practical part. You had to have done everything theory and practical, and I only did the theory of that. So they made me do a course of psychiatry, a full course. It didn't matter what level it was, whatever was available, you know, was the 2-year program or the 4-year program. No, the 4-year program was available, so I did 3 months in a bachelor's degree program in Indianapolis University of Psychiatry.
And that was all it took to get?
Yeah. Well, to apply for the national exam, the NCLEX.
Okay.
Once I had done that, I could apply for the NCLEX and sit the boards, they call it. And I sat through that, and then I was registered.
So have you, were there any big differences between how you were trained in Europe versus how they practice or how you nurse here?
Not really big differences.
How about attitudes about healthcare, or attitudes about hospitals and the patients, are they different?
Well, there are of course some differences, and some are subtle, so you don't even notice them right away. Let me think here. In Holland, at that time, they still had the diploma nursing primarily. Now they have more the out of hospital trainings more. So, like here in the United States, let's see, there's a few differences. There are more LPNs and technicians here that kind of do the baths, vital signs and things, while in Holland kind of the nurse does everything more so. That was one thing that... And what I noticed when I first started here was that, which I don't even notice anymore now, but the people here would ask the patient, do you want your bath now or later? In Holland, certain time of the day was baths, and you know, the patients didn't really have a choice, and it was depending on their physical status when you would do it and how often, rather than if they felt like it at that moment. And which here, you know, you would ask the patient if they wanted to have their bath or this or that. And well, in Holland, you know, well, oh, now it's time for your bath, because otherwise you wouldn't get your work done, that kind of thing. Well, here it happens also at times, especially where I work intensive care, but that was one thing that I noticed in the beginning that I thought was different. I think the relation with the doctors is a little different, it's a little more distance here. Seems like there's maybe a certain fear of the nurses for a lot of doctors, you know. I think doctors can put nurses down here just for no reason, or sometimes for a reason, but in Holland I've never seen that happen.
So there's more respect for one another?
Yeah. Yeah. They do more things together also. I mean, they eat at the same table in the restaurant, and here, you know, they have, I think, separate quarters. When I left, for example, you know, they gave goodbye parties, and the doctors that I worked with are also there. But here, I don't think that, I've never seen that happen, you know, that kind of thing. And I've never in Holland ever been afraid to call a doctor. And here, you know, if you have a problem, you call one. You're not always sure how they will react, because sometimes they feel it's unnecessary, even though you have a problem. And other times, you don't call because you think, well, you know, and then there is a certain, I don't know, it's not as easy here, the relationship. And I don't know if that's because I don't read them. No, I see that in the American nurses also, though. You know, they are.
Yeah. It's an attitude between.
It's a little bit difficult, more difficult, I would say. Let me check on the water.
Okay.
I don't know if she's calling me.
So did you get a chance to practice any midwifery after you had the training in England? Did you
do
it here at all?
No. I visited, that's what I wanted to do, of course, when I first came here, primarily. And I went to Tennessee to Ina Mae Gaskin, who has the farm. I went two times to see her, and that was fun. You know, we talked a lot about midwifery here in America, what she has done, and she gave me her book. Well, no, I bought her book, she signed it. And of course, she does the home based midwifery, you know, the no medical, technical approach. And I went to the Mary Breckenridge Hospital in Eastern Kentucky in Hayden, and the school there that Mary Breckenridge started to train midwives. And they actually have all my papers on file there, because I wanted to do the training to become certified here. And it just never happened.
Now, there is a difference, though, between how Ina Mae Gaskin is home-based, and that there's also nurse midwives.
Yeah, nurse midwives. That's what I was, of course. Yeah. And that's to become a certified nurse midwife, I had to go through this 6 months training anywhere I could. You know, there are several hospitals in the United States that offer that. But, you know, Eastern Kentucky would have been great, mm-hmm. but it never happened.
What happened instead?
Well, we settled here, and I had my own baby then, and Terry didn't really want me to go through all that. Mm-hmm. Just, it would have been okay, I think, because he didn't have a job yet. He could have babysat, and I could have done it. They offered me a job, and they offered to pay the $6,000 that it would have cost to do the training if I stayed for 2 years. So I thought it was a good opportunity, but it never mm-hmm. did. And then I, of course, started working as a nurse. I worked already as a nurse here in the open heart surgical, which I did before I became a midwife. And then I changed to the general intensive care here, which is a little bit more low-key and more flexible hours. So I'm just doing everything for convenience right now. The work, it's not really my, you know, what I really wanted to do. It's just the convenience and the hours and the extra income. That's the main reason I'm working right now, I feel, rather than that I chose that particular area for my interest.
Do you think that later on you'll be able to pursue after the kids get older?
I don't know if I will, because it's a certain touch you have in the midwifery, and I don't know if I will ever. It's also knowing the women. And even though I did in England, I felt I had a very close bond with the women there. I'm not sure if I will ever have that with American women, because there is a different attitude to start with towards midwifery. And of course, there's a big group of women who maybe, I don't know, maybe there's more mistrust in America in general. Medical profession and being a foreigner, I don't know if I ever will have that bond with American women to help them through childbirth. Mm. So, you know, my experience is that you can help women through childbirth, that it's, you know, a good experience from they have pain, but they never experience as negative if you really guide them through that. I'm not sure I'm able to do that with American women somehow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still believe I could do that when I first came here, because I had, you know, I just had that.
Are the attitudes towards childbirth different just in general between America and in Europe, places in Europe, just about childbirth and how to give birth?
Yeah, I think most people are appalled when they hear, you know, that you would have a midwifery birth or a home birth. They think it's out of place or ancient or unresponsible, and just the fact that you might not want any pain medicine, that they think that's barbarian. Well, it's interesting because in Holland, people don't take pain medicine. And they don't expect it to be offered. They just have a baby, you know, and they just expect it has some pain. But like in Holland, especially in England, less so. People expect they have different expectations, I guess. They want the home birth and they don't want the medicine.
Now, are there birthing centers? Are there different atmospheres that women give birth in Holland versus?
Yeah, there is still some. More than 40% will choose a home birth.
That's a big percentage.
Yeah. And it's a cultural thing. It's grown like that. You know, it's always been like that. And it was, of course, much higher. But it dropped down 37.5% by the lowest. And then it started rising again. But, and then there is a certain percentage, especially first births and city people, that will just go to the hospital 6 hours, just have the birth in the hospital, and then go back home with the baby. So they call it a polyclinical, or an outpatient, I guess they call it an outpatient birth.
So there's no, they take the baby to another room and keep it in the nursery while the mother stays in her room? Does the mother and child stay together after the birth?
That's something different again. I don't know what they do nowadays, but when I was still there, they would separate them.
Hmm.
The hospital births,
yeah.
They would separate them for quite a bit. Much more so than in England or in America.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's strange, isn't it? Well, the home birth is so opposite, but the hospital births were more separate. Even though the births themselves were, again, more low-tech, you know, very little medicine, no epidurals, you know, or just very few.
I wonder what the rationale was.
Yeah, it's different. Well, there is a big thing in Holland that is that you have to give the mothers rest after birth. You know, the mothers is the main focus in Holland, even at home. In home, you also have someone who's with the mother, you know, like they call it a maternity help, who stays there for the first day almost 24 hours and then every day less, especially to help the mother. The mother basically doesn't have to do anything the first 10 days.
So this is professional help, not necessarily relatives?
No, that's a professional help. And everyone has that.
Okay.
And it's especially for the mother. The mother is the queen, you know, the new mother. And maybe the hospital has that also, that everyone, the nurses will take care of the baby and do everything while the mother can rest. That might have to do with it. But it's the maternity help stays about 10 days. In the beginning, like I said, the full day, she will do everything, and then she will check the mother and baby every day. And she will take care of the rest of the household too. She will do the cooking, take care of the animals that are there, do the cleaning, everything. And then by the third day or so, the mother will get up, start doing more herself. And the maternity help will do less all the time. She'll also teach the father to do things. She'll teach the father how to bathe the baby, how to check certain things.
So the father is around for
a
lot of this.
Yeah. The father usually will take off work the first 2 weeks or so after birth and be there too. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm going to flip the tape over and then I want to ask a few more questions. I just want to flip it over.
If you let me, I'll talk for days.
side too. July 4th, 1999, and following up with some questions about midwifery with Marlene Flynn. I was going to ask how your interest in midwifery or your experiences with it changed when you had children of your own.
It never changed.
Your connection with the mothers, was it intensified or different?
I don't know, because I've never... Let me see, I did, I had my first baby, and then I was offered this training in Heiden, which of course we declined. Then my first birth, I had a doctor who was willing to do everything I wanted, except I would have preferred a home birth, but you know, that was... I was uncertain about that because it was illegal officially, and if, you know, I just didn't feel I could do it. If something went wrong, everyone would blame me. But anyway, I don't know, I didn't change. I went to the hospital, had her, it was a very long, slow, painful birth, and there was nobody there for me, because I was basically alone. And the doctor didn't make me be on the monitor all the time, so I could walk around, which helped. But there was nobody actually there to help me through this. And I just did it all on my own, what I remembered, and I did fine, you know, I've been there, walked. And they told me, oh, you're doing so great. They hadn't seen anybody doing it like that in years, you know, just doing it all by yourself. But I missed that little companion that I would have had in Holland or England. Mm-hmm. And I still feel, and I worked, after Linda was born, I decided I wanted to work some in obstetrics here, so I worked 9 months on a labor and delivery floor in Greenview, and tried to be that for these women, but it was just such a different atmosphere, and doctors were so much in charge, you know, with the medication and the epidurals and the monitoring, that I felt you couldn't really get through to the woman and help her. Occasionally it would be a woman who would expect that more and allow you to, but most women, you know, they were not even looking for any help through their labor from a nurse in this case.
Going through your having your first child, did you miss not being close to relatives or your mother or any other family?
Yeah, I felt a certain miss there, yeah. Not real big, but there was, I wish I would have some people.
Yeah. So, now you have 3 children, and what are some of your ideas about how you were raised and you grew up and now raising your children in America? What are some of the ideas or issues that you think about? Are there a lot of differences or attitudes about raising children here or family issues?
Oh, that's a hard question. Sometimes, I think my very first impression of children here in America was that they got too much attention from everybody. In Holland, I think they're more left alone, and it's the grown-ups kind of do their own thing and the children do their own thing. While here, and I don't know, it might differ per family, it seems like the parents are all the time hovering over these children, do their homework, oh, now you have to go do this, now you have to go do that. At the other hand, the children can do what they want, in a sense, you know, bedtime, if they want, you know, I mean, they can eat whenever they want to, it seems like in a lot of families, they just open the refrigerator. In Holland, the child never would open the refrigerator to get something. I mean, the mother is in charge of the kitchen. I don't know, they have to be taken everywhere here, which takes a lot of time from the parents, which in Holland, not so. The kids, you know, they jump on a bike and they go place it themselves. My mother never took me to a swimming pool, to a gymnastic lesson, or to a music lesson, because I always went myself. She never ever went. While here, I have to go with every single activity with the kids. That gives a different, whatever, feeling of your day, in a way, which, it's fine, I'm enjoying it. But it's, you know, it's something, it's a little different.
What about daycare and things like that?
Daycare, it's, that's something that's changing in Holland big time. Yeah, when I left, there were barely any daycares, and now they're
popping up everywhere. Women are starting to work more. So it's becoming more to lots of divorce also, just like here in America. And so a lot of more women start working, and which was not so when I was there. It was mainly the unmarried girls and women that worked, and the married women would stay home. But that's changing. So there are more daycares coming too. Yeah.
Now you found a way here to do both. So you're able to be home with the kids.
Yeah.
And work.
Yeah. Yeah, I work night shift. And then the kids, just, you know, one night at a time, so I don't have to necessarily get my rest during the day. I can go back to bed at night. Like this morning, I worked last night 12 hours. And I did sleep this morning 3 hours, but it was because my husband was home, so he could take care of it. Normally, I don't do that. I might sleep an hour or so after 12 hours. But I just stay with them the whole time. And I'm not sure if that's good. I think I wanted to be with them a lot because I didn't feel quite in control here in America. So I couldn't do it, like having a babysitter. We never had one, which I think we should have. So Terry and I could have gone out evenings or even a weekend or something, which my insecurity here never allowed that. That's personal thing. But now I wouldn't mind, you know, I'm kind of... But that for many years, that we wouldn't do that.
Now, is this the first house you owned as a family?
Yeah.
So are you feeling more settled here now that you're owning a house?
Not really. That was not really my... To me, it doesn't mean much to own it or to rent it, really. To me, it's the place, it's, you know, whether it's home or not. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's still chaos, because I'm still remodeling. And it's not really home yet, because I don't have things in the right place. Mm-hmm. So even we had only like 650 square foot before we moved in here. A very small house with three kids. Everything had its place, and everything was just right. And here, there was so much space, but nothing seems to be quite ready yet. It's a big... unsettling thing again.
And did you have you found more of a community now in Bowling Green that you've been here for
yeah.
a while?
I think mainly through the kids. You know, your kids meet friends and you meet their parents, and that's how you kind of start becoming more a part of society.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, when you were growing up, were there certain celebrations or holidays or traditions that you celebrated as a family that you try to do here with your kids in America?
Not a whole lot. Excuse me, New Year's Eve, maybe.
New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve. In Holland, that would be our big thing in our family. Christmas was, of course, never a big thing where I grew up. We had St. Nicholas in December the 5th in Holland, and I do that a little bit here, but not really much. And then you have New Year's Eve, when we have the big fireworks. Now, if you want to see fireworks, today is July the 4th, but if you want to see fireworks, you have to go to Holland on New Year's Eve. Then you can see real fireworks. It's like an hour long, everyone in the front, on the front porch or sidewalk. Shooting fireworks.
Just like a whole neighborhood? Just
the whole town, the village, everybody.
And were there parties and other activities?
It's mainly, people would stay up till midnight and just have a good time, usually play games. And then after midnight, you would go, especially young ones, would go in groups and then go from house to house all night, say Happy New Year. But here, Christmas is the big thing, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We make special kind of bread, deep fried bread on New Year's Eve, which I always make.
You make that here now?
Yeah, I make it every year. And I actually made some last week on my birthday, just because I had fresh yeast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I found some. Normally you don't find fresh yeast here in the middle of the summer, but I found some and I bought it, and I said, well, I make some olive oil on my birthday, even though it's the middle of the summer, so I did.
It's both special occasion.
Yeah.
are there other foods and things that you make for yourself and the kids that are to you more from your home rather than?
I don't think so. I think food in general is quite the same, really. You know, vegetables, potatoes, meat, rice, macaroni. I mean, we have
it. It was similar to what you grew up on.
Yeah.
What kind of things?
We didn't grow up on corn, by the way.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Was that corn. New?
Yeah, corn or cob I never eaten. And they would sometimes mix corn in other dishes or soup or something, I guess. I don't have any problems with corn, but apparently some people do. They think it's an animal food in Europe.
They do.
In Europe, it's raised as an animal food. Well, and some people apparently have a difficulty when they come to America to eat that. I've never felt that. I guess it's because I was never raised on a farm.
Well, have the children been to Holland to visit?
Yeah, they have.
I did.
Did you? Was it fun?
Yes.
What kind of things did you see?
I don't know.
De Boer. Did you learn any Dutch?
Yes.
What do you say what do you say when you start eating?
Eet smakelijk.
Eet smakelijk means same as bon appetit, you know, may it taste well or something like that.
Do they have they studied some Dutch then?
Oh, very little because.
Could we go watch Ruby the movie?
Just a minute.
We're almost done here.
My oldest one did. When I went with her when she was 8 months, that's when my father passed away. Then I went with her when she was 21 months, and she went there for 2 months to a little preschool, just, you know, to play with other children and to learn the language. And then when she was 4, she went there for like 3 months to kindergarten. So she learned the language pretty good. But with the other two, it was never that extensive. Mm-hmm.
She remembers a lot of it,
yeah. She will still understand when you talk to her. She does not respond in Dutch unless she's a little while in Holland, then she will start talking it. But like after 2 weeks, she will start responding in it. But she remembers it all. When you talk to her, she will understand. But I don't talk enough to them. I don't have the patience, you know. And I probably can still do it. In a certain one way or another, not expecting to have to talk to them in Dutch and all the little nuances that goes with language, but just, you know, taking the subject and just talk about that, or say, well, today we want to talk Dutch colors, you know, just take a certain area and just teach them that rather than the language with all the little nuances, which is almost too much to expect since.
Yeah. Is that something that's important to you, to have them or know somewhat some of the language?
It was up till now because of my parents didn't speak English. So when they went to Holland, I wanted them to be able to understand them some and also maybe respond some to them. But now my father, of course, passed away a while back, and my mother is in poor health. I'm not sure. Everyone else speaks English in Holland, so it's not that big of a deal for the communication as it was maybe when my parents were alive. I find it more important that they would be able to communicate some with them.
Do you have other relatives in the States?
No.
Do you get to see relatives very often?
Only when I go there, really.
They don't come over?
No. My older sister came twice. When Linda was born, she came, and then 2 years ago, she came here for a month. But she is, of course, she doesn't have a family. She has one grown son, but now she has two grandchildren, though. So for her, it was a little easier. Most of my other brothers and sisters have a family, so it's, you know, it's difficult to just pack them up, and expensive, you know, to come and visit for them. It's expensive for me, too, but I kind of just, you know, that's part of my life. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
To visit and
how else do
stay
you keep
in touch?
How
much?
What other ways do you keep in touch?
I will write, which has become less over time. Mm-hmm. And I will call, certain members of family I keep more in touch, and they will, you know, be responding and initiating contact more than others. You know, that's just write, telephone,
yeah.
Both. I would like to have my computer linked to the internet because most of them have internet. And how do you call the service? That's
yeah, the internet, the email.
The email. So, well, that's the housekeeping. And I wanted to have a permanent place for the computer before I would access that, but maybe I will speed that up and do it already after this summer. And then, because it's, I think it makes a difference when you can respond immediately.
Yeah,
rather than later.
Handy.
And it's cheaper than the phone, so.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to start doing that.
So were there elements or things in American culture that you had to get used to when you first started living here permanently? Or were there any things that really stand out in your mind?
I don't know. I think living in someone else's house initially was a big adjustment. I don't know what to respond. The heat, the culture in itself, the shops being open all the time. You're never having rest, it seems. Like people don't slow down. I think you feel that in a society. The car culture, you know, you have to do everything by car. Everything seems, you go outside and there's not really people. There's only asphalt and cars and parking lots and cars. But no people. While in Holland, you go to a shop, you only see people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shopping bags. And they stop for a few minutes and chat. And even in the cities, you know, it happens like that. So that's a little different, I think. Here you have to make up your mind to go to a certain place. That's where you will meet the people after you park your car. And then you.
Are there any things that you try to teach or instill in your children that are important to you being from Holland that are different?
I cannot think of really anything specific.
Mom! You're sad. We gotta ask him if this is
no.
A baby cow.
It is!
This.
Yeah, it's a baby cow!
I don't know what it is. It looks like a calf with a hump on its back, don't you think?
It looks like a camel or a horse or something. Well, you can have it, but when then the horse or something doesn't have its baby, you gotta give it back.
Okay. And I get to do another that stays a while.
Well, we can wrap up now. I just wanted to. This is going into an archive. So, are there any stories or anything that you want to add that we haven't talked about yet? Is there anything you can think of that would be important for future generations to hear about how you've experienced becoming part of the American, part of Bowling Green's community?
I don't know.
It's a tough question.
Yeah, I don't know. I personally would never recommend leaving your own country in a way, but on the other hand, I don't know. I think it's quite stressful, but it might not be stressful for everybody. And maybe I was just too old to change.
Do you have any future dreams or goals about relocating?
No.
This is home now?
Yeah. Today it's home. We don't have any other plans right now.
Mm-hmm.
No. Or desires. I don't know. I don't really know. Because Holland, I've been gone now for, 15 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I were to go back, I had to start over there again too. And for the children to adjust there, you know, it would be a big thing. So right now, I just don't know. I just live today and try to make the best here. And try to be positive. for kids especially.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, we don't have any other plans at this moment or desires, because don't know what other options would be and what they would give, you know. It's just not always an easy solution to right now it's fine, you know, I can live this way. Raising the kids here, I can see a lot of positive things. Once you know the system and you know the people and where to find the people, you feel more secure, and then you know you can go on and you know where to find what you're looking for. That makes it easier. It takes a while to learn that in a new country, I guess.
Okay,
thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thanks.
Welcome. Want to meet my nephew?